views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from AM 1150 KKNW here at Hubbard Radio in Seattle. You might be listening on WBLQ, AM 1230 in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New York, or somewhere across the country in cable on cable radio network through your television, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us, because we have an interesting topic at hand. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear the conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, good day. And the powerhouse of alternative talk. That's what we like to say around
here.
Yeah. Well, maybe just me.
Well, you know, and powerhouse to me means something different. Power to me means something different now than it did once upon a time.
Oh, yeah.
Because power to me once upon a time was about force and control. And now the kind of power that I'm seeking, and that I believe, you know, we all in some sense are seeking, are the power that comes from within.
Yes, I was pointing to myself. Everyone saw
connection.
Me pointing in my own self. Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes.
The inner power, the inner
yes.
wisdom.
And in that sense, yes, we are the powerhouse.
We
of radio.
Can do it. Yes, let's do it. We're all excited now. We're all jacked.
Yeah. And speaking of excitement, Mark Nepo is coming into town. He's going to be starting a weekend workshop beginning tonight. And we have two free tickets.
Hey, so
yes.
Stay tuned for those, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, stay tuned for that, because we will actually, you know, take a caller and offer a pair of tickets to one lucky person.
But you can get the number now at 800-930-2819. Write it down. Don't call it yet, but 800-930-2819. And your chance is coming up very shortly.
Great. And, you know, it's funny because working within the realm of subtle energy, I'm used to electronic disturbances. I'm used to my phone doing really strange things, my computer doing weird things. I'm actually even used to being in certain situations where people are trying to run credit cards through the computers and they can't seem to get it to run. And eventually they ask me to step away so that it can actually work. So I'm used to electronic disturbances, and so is my associate producer, Peggy Snow. Well, she was preparing the information for the show today, doing her darndest to prepare it, and some very strange things happened. And when that kind of thing happens, we know that the guest we're having on is a powerhouse and is connected with some higher frequency vibrations that seems to be affecting the electronics. I won't go into details about the strange things that happened and the 85 pages of blank document with a couple of things, like a couple messages popping out that happened. But anyway, it's all been very amusing. But I love high-frequency guests, because that's the direction that we're headed. And our guest today is Paul Selig. He is an author. He's a channeler and medium. New York Magazine actually calls him one of New York City's top clairvoyants. He appears in the upcoming documentary film called Authors of the Impossible. And he's a subject of the short documentary film Paul and the Word. He's featured on the A&E Biography Channel series called The Unexplained. And he has written three channeled works. His latest one is I Am the Word. No, his first one is I Am the Word. The next one was The Book of Love and Creation. And his most recent is called The Book of Knowing and Worth. He's been on numerous radio programs, including Coast to Coast AM with George Noory. And he lives in New York City, where he has a private practice as an intuitive. And he also does some more mainstream things, which we'll talk to him about. And his goal is to help the personal and planetary evolution of humankind as we and it awaken to the divine nature of our reality. I'd like to welcome Paul Selig. Paul, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
You know, you're a New Yorker, and I used to live in the New York area. You've got a master's degree from Yale. You know, things that would make me think you're a very grounded individual. Uh-huh. You're a noted playwright. You're an educator. You're on the faculty of NYU. You direct the MFA program in creative writing at Goddard College. Mm-hmm. So how did somebody as grounded and sensible as you end up getting into something as alternative as channeling?
Well, you know, I think I was somebody that didn't necessarily even believe in channeling. I was raised pretty much an atheist. And when I was 25, I had a list of things I had to have achieved in the world that I thought would make me okay. I got the mm-hmm. whole list. I wasn't okay. And out of sheer necessity, began to look for something more.
Mm-hmm.
I started to open up psychically in my mid-20s. I was kind of shocked by it. Initially, I was just seeing lights around people and didn't know what they were.
Uh-huh.
And then I studied a form of energy healing to give me a context for what I was starting to experience. And I found that when I had my hands on people, I started to hear things for them. So it was as simple, a word or a phrase would just pop into my head, and sort of drown out, even just for a moment, all the chatter.
Uh-huh.
And that was the beginning of clairaudience. And as I began to work with that more and more, I began to receive dictation or teachings through me.
Right.
But I stayed grounded, I think, uh-huh. I hope.
Right. And from my perspective, Paul, it seems like where we're at right now is about bringing through the high frequency of vibration and grounding it here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that the combination is a really important one for our leaders in this evolutionary process that we're undergoing. You know, many people will talk about channeling messages, channeling mm-hmm. words. You talk about channeling energy. Why do you make that distinction?
Well, I channel energy and I also channel words, but the books, my guides have actually dictated, there's actually 4 books now because there's a new one out come January.
Oh, wow.
And the books are actually, fully formed. They're not edited. It's the transcripts of the sessions are typed up and,
uh-huh.
The editor publishes them. But the words actually come with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the books, according to my guides, are working directly on the energy fields of the reader. So they say that there are actually 2 books. There are the words on the page,
uh-huh.
which are instructive and not provide an intellectual context,
right.
but that the words themselves are encoded and that the real book lives beyond the word. So the books are working on the readers. And it's an interesting thing if you go to Amazon and you read the reviews, people mm-hmm. are saying things like, I'm reading the books and my body's vibrating,
uh-huh.
I'm reading the book, I'm seeing auras. So there really is this phenomena. And when I'm channeling and when I'm doing a workshop or even with my clients, there's an energy that comes into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And in the workshops, everybody, it's extraordinarily tangible. And my guides are supporting people in their own awareness of this because that brings them into their own knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to feel the energy and to begin to work with it in a tangible way, to align to it at the energy that they're teaching, supports people in being in their own knowing, which mm-hmm. I think is infinitely more important than just having somebody hand you some information.
Yes, yes. So it's, instead of being something that from the mind, it's actually something from that vibrates through the entire being and allows us to make true shifts as opposed to just sort of the intellectual ones.
That's experiential.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. So why now? Why are these messages coming through right now for our planet?
Well, I know what I've been told, and I always say I'm kind of the radio and I take the broadcast and because people ask me about this stuff, I'm often in a position to have to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm interpreting the guide stuff, occasionally they'll sort of jump in and correct me. So,
right.
That can happen. But what they've said is that we're at a juncture. Mankind is at a juncture. They call it a reckoning.
Uh-huh.
And they say that a reckoning is a facing of ourselves and our own creations. And they actually say that the species that we are is actually at a time of evolution
mm-hmm.
and transformation.
Right.
So they're really here to support this. And I think, you know, I mean, it's all very positive, but they do say that our belief in separation, which they say is our belief in our separation from source, mm-hmm. whatever name you wish to give it,
right.
has manifested in our belief in our separation from one another.
Yes.
To the extent that, you know, we've really created the means to sort of do ourselves in, and we have to get our act together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here to support us in that. I mean, I think it's a very loving teaching.
Oh, yes.
You know, but it's they're pretty much saying, you know, you've forgotten who you are,
uh-huh.
and they're here to remind us about the truth of who we are, not who we've been taught to be, not who we think we are, which is essentially a construct of personality, but who we are as divine beings. That's their teaching.
Yes. And I want to go further into this notion of us being divine beings and what your guides say. But we're going to go to a quick break. More with Paul Selig, author of The Book of Knowing and Worth, a channeled text, when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I know that you have, because there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Paul Selig, who is a channeler who's channeled, I guess, four books now. His third book, that which is currently out, is The Book of Knowing and Worth. Now, Paul, before the break, you were talking about how your guides are saying it's important for us to awaken to our divine nature. Mm-hmm. What is our divine nature, and how do we awaken to it?
Well, I mean, that's their teaching. I mean, what they would say is it's the truth of who we are, the divine self, or they use the word Christ itself sometimes, mm-hmm. or the eternal self, or the true self. It's who we truly are, and the activation of that and the demonstration of that is really what they're teaching. So all of the books, in many ways, are about our ability to reclaim the truth of who we are and begin to re-identify at that level. And there's a lot of energy that comes with it. So they actually work through attunements to bring this into being. I mean, there's, you know, several of the books. Actually, the first book and the third book actually are working on very specific attunements on the fields of people in order to bring this about. The first book, they have an attunement that they call, I guess it's to embodiment, which is the claiming of the word. Mm-hmm. And their definition of that is the energy of the Creator in action, and that's what you align to. And it's actually quite potent. And in the third book, they talk about, you know, incarnation and the being of this. Mm-hmm. You know, so we sort of embody it, and then we get to be it. And then, you know, now they're talking about learning how to live our lives as this, mm-hmm. you know, in our daily lives, the truth of who we are. But I think what they would say is that we have sort of misidentified ourselves through personality, through what we've been taught, that we have these frames that we carry around that tell us who we're supposed to be, mm-hmm. and that we buy into these things and we adhere to them. And essentially, you know, none of that's really true. I mean, it's true on a superficial level. But if you go to the essence of who we are, we're all of the same stuff, and they would say that that's the divine self.
Right. And apparently the universe is emphasizing the importance of this through the sirens in the background.
Yeah, it's New York.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, it's funny because it seems like we have gotten stuck in some ways searching for love through that approval process, through the mm-hmm. achievement process, through all these different avenues that ultimately don't get us in, you know, what we need. And mm-hmm. it seems like your guides are saying to embrace our divinity and embrace our worthiness.
Well, I think the worthiness is a big part of it. I think we're taught that we're not worthy of this and that we have to go through an intermediary. So the guides say things like, you know, we're not telling you, you know, what you're not. We're telling you who you are, and who you are in truth, they would say, is the divine self. And that's a radical shift in self-awareness, because it's a different self that you're going into an agreement with. You know, they talk about the small self, you know, or the personality structure of the self, and they talk about the true self. Mm-hmm. So when you go into an alignment as the true self, then your life begins to reflect it. I mean, you talked about sort of, you know, being grounded, and they actually talk about, I mean, their big teaching these days has been, they call it the kingdom, and they say that that's the awareness of the divine in all things, mm-hmm. which is always present. And they say it's here now, but you have to be in the alignment to go into an accord with that.
Yes.
So the small self doesn't have access at that level. The personality self doesn't have the eyes, they would say, with which to see it.
Uh-huh.
It's the true self or the divine self that does, and their teaching is to bring us there, because they say that's reality.
Right.
This other thing that we're sort of operating through, it's a school, but it's not the true reality. I think that I mean, I'm speaking for them, and I probably shouldn't. Thank you. So, you know, I may get butted into it at a certain point, but that's my understanding of the teaching thus far.
Uh-huh. And, you know, what you're talking about is something that I sort of have been aspiring to and opening my own awareness to on a more regular basis. And I tell you, when we can feel, I mean, like really not just see and think about, but feel the perfection in everything that's going on, even when it is uncomfortable.
Oh yeah!
It totally shifts the energetics of it, and it actually I believe it shifts the outcome of what happens next.
I do too. I mean, and that's, I think, what you brought up, a very important point. I mean, they talk all the time about claiming the truth in what you see, and the truth of what you see is the divinity in it.
Uh-huh.
And they would say that's regardless of what's presenting itself and
yes.
how you would be taught to judge it or to fear it.
Uh-huh.
Because when you begin to operate at that other level, I mean, they're saying you really are impacting matter. You're not manipulating it or trying to get it to do what you want.
Right.
You're acknowledging the truth that's always present.
Uh-huh.
You see, if there is a God, I suppose they would say, then it's everything. It's not just the things that you like or the
yes.
things that you agree with. It's got to also be the person that you can't stand or those people that you've been taught to hate or fear.
Right.
And as long as we're operating in a separation, we're actually separating ourselves from our own source.
Mm-hmm. You know, there have been moments, Paul, when you know, I've viewed a situation with somebody who's been really unpleasant or extremely mm-hmm. difficult, and not only will I understand the perfection and what is triggering for me and allowing me to clear, but also I think in terms of if this is like some movement towards, you know, claiming our divinity. That those people who've come in to be difficult people, to do some things that are, you know, that are we can judge to be bad,
mm-hmm.
how wonderful and brave of them to agree to do this on a soul level, to come in and to play that role. So it's like I've gotten to the point where I, not only can I understand how its effect on me, but I can understand the role that they're playing in the bigger picture, which can be
mm-hmm.
a very powerful perspective to allow us to sort of just be present with what is so that it can shift.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, I, you know, the guide said something, and I really can't quote it, and it's in the newest book, but, you know, people were saying, you know, how do I see the divine in a murderer? How do I see
mm-hmm.
it? How do I claim the divinity in an atrocity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they talk about, you know, you're claiming the divinity in the being, not in the act necessarily.
Right,
you're not
right.
condoning the act, but you can't deny the divine in another. I mean, what they say again and again and again, they've been saying it pretty much since they started teaching, is, you know, you can't be the light and hold another in darkness. It just can't be so.
Mm-hmm.
And they also say, and this is a basic metaphysical teaching, I mean, others say it as well, you know, what you damn dams you back.
Right.
So what you put in dark,
well
what
done.
You put in darkness, calls you right there with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so these are the opportunities for us in many ways to grow. I mean, it's enormously convenient to be in a workshop where people are, you know, all sort of holding the same belief system or in agreement about, you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever
sure.
kind of group it is. It's a lot more challenging when you're being confronted, and that, I think, is when the actual growth happens. But I would say that the work is the same, like
right.
it or not. And I have a hard time with this, which is
sure.
you know, to claim the divine and the one that I see before me,
right.
to know the truth of who they are. And that's not about fixing them or changing them or getting them to do what we wish,
mm-hmm.
but in some cases it's their own denial of their own truth that's perpetuating the quote-unquote behavior. I mean, my guides say that people that are killing have forgotten who they are.
Sure.
I mean, it's not done by the true self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, as we begin to embrace our divinity, it tends to shift things for us, and I want to just read a quote from your book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When you claim, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, you have been given the key to know who he is as well. We're talking about somebody else. It says,
mm-hmm.
we are all cut from the same cloth, made of the same frequency, vibrating at different levels. As you align to your worth, you align to your responsibility as the one who may claim himself and his fellow in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand upon that a bit?
Sure. I think so, if I can remember it. I mean, that's the claim. They call this the teaching of incarnation. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. And they say that this is actually an energetic activation when you work with it. Most people feel it as sort of a vertical energy. You know, your hands and your feet get warm, and, you know, it sort of grounds you into present time.
Right.
And they say in present time is the only time you can know anything. You can't know yesterday, you won't know tomorrow, you only know now. But they say, I know who I am is the claim of truth of who you are, and that is as a divine being. And they say that that's true even when you don't think so. It can't not be true. So it's always true. I know who I am as a claim of truth. I know what I am in this incarnation as this thing through these relationships, these encounters that I'm invested in. And I know how I serve, they say, is how you are most fully expressed, how one is most fully expressed as their true self. So your service is your true expression. And they also say that when you work with this, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, your service is brought into form. So you don't go out digging for it. You don't go out, you know, saying, how can I do this? Essentially, it becomes present because it is you at your highest, you know, being you through whatever way. And it may just be a way of being.
So that's really different than what so many people teach or so many people try to do. Instead of reaching out and determining and trying to manifest, it's more about claiming, isn't it?
Well, when you claim, I know, you see, but they're saying it's a claim of truth, and they say that a claim of truth is always true. But here they're speaking as well that when you, well, they're saying that when you say it, I know how I serve, you're aligning to your service so that you're going into an agreement and accord with what is for you to be demonstrated through. I mean, they say that the action of the divine self is to be realized as and through you, that it's the truth of who we all are, and it's seeking our expression. I read for people sometimes, like I went through a period where everybody was a nurse that was coming to me, and I heard all these, and some of them loved their work, many of them hated it, but they thought that they were doing what they were supposed to do to be in service. And I read for people frequently who are saying, well, I'm studying Reiki, I need to be a Reiki master. Perhaps, you know, my guides did a reading, there was a reading, I do these live stream things, and this lovely woman, you know, came on the air, and she said, you know, I'm doing the work in the books, and I'm, you know, seeing the divine in those before me. She said, you know, but I drive a school bus, and I'm, you know, I'm seeing the divinity in everybody. And the guide said, well, that's your work.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, she's, you know, she's seeing the divine in everybody who steps onto that school bus. I mean, that's an enormous gift. If somebody had done that for me when I was a kid, I might have been a happier kid.
Know,
but I got to kind of forget and then sort of recover or reclaim. So the idea, I mean, I think they're all about service. I mean, my guide's teaching more and more. I mean, I'm getting surprised at it. At times, moves more into social action. Because really we are, they say we are a brother's keeper, so it is about action. But that, you know, the idea of having to, they say the days of figuring it out are over because it's the personality self or the small mind, you know, which is trying to do the figuring. And my guides make a real distinction between thinking and knowing. And they say that when you know, there's no question. So they're aligning us to our own knowing so that we can operate at that level.
Right, and allow it to flow through.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, Paul, can you just share with our listeners your website before we go to
break? It's www.paulselig.com, P-A-U-L-S-E-L-I-G.com.
Okay, and when we come back, we're going to chat more about this amazing work. And also, for those of you in Seattle, we're going to talk about an upcoming event with Paul.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here.
About somebody, there's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah.
Oh, baby. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, we're going to get back to this wonderful conversation in a minute, but I want to talk about Mark Nepo's event in Seattle beginning this evening. Now, first of all, if you're not familiar with him, Mark is he's somebody who's done a lot of inner work and shares a lot of wisdom for those of us on our paths. He's been on Oprah Winfrey, and he does workshops all over the place. Well, he is going to be in Seattle tonight beginning at 7 p.m., I believe it is. And here's just a quote, one of the things that Mark says. Wakefulness is not a destination, but a song of the human heart, song the human heart keeps singing, the way birds keep singing in the first sign of light. This gentleman is going to be here teaching all weekend, and we have a pair of tickets to give away for free to the first caller. And what's that number, Benny?
It'll be 800-930-2819. Again, 800-930-2819. We'll collect the information and hope those two will have a great time tonight.
Yes.
And the weekend.
The entire weekend.
Right.
Yes.
Never leave.
Yes. Okay, so back to the subject at hand, our divinity and stepping into it. You know, Paul, it's funny because, you know, I understand this on an intellectual level, and I have many moments where I can sort of step into seeing the perfection in things and recognizing my own divinity. But it seems like so much of the time I'm actually struggling with self-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
What do the guides say about getting away from that judgment?
Well, you know, I mean, I probably would have to ask them, and if I do that, I probably have to start channeling, which is okay, but then I should warn you that if I do that, I'm a little odd.
Okay.
You know, as a channel, I whisper the words as they come and then repeat them, so people say, you know, what's wrong with the radio? I'm hearing everything twice, and it's just frankly the way it comes out.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but what I'm actually hearing is judgment is fear of the self. They're saying, and if you realize that, you can counter with the truth of who you are, the divine as you, who knows who he is, who knows who he is, who she is, who she is, requires no instruction. She does not judge the self. She does not judge the self because there is no need. Everything is an opportunity to learn, yes, and will be used by the divine self, and will be used by the divine self to bring you forward to your own knowing. So when you move to judgment, understand that you're in fear. When you understand that you're in fear, you can counter the fear with the truth. You can understand this. If you can understand this, the divine as you, the aspect of you that knows who he is, that knows knows who he is, who she is, who she is, the eternal self, yes. The eternal self, yes, does not go into accord with fear, does not go into accord with fear because she does not live there. Because she does not live there, you can then learn to bypass the small self's need, to judge, period. And they're saying, period.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what they're saying. You know, what they've said in the texts is, you know, what you judge, you fear. I've heard that before,
right.
You know, and what you fear, you end up calling to yourself, or you move into an accord with. But they speak a lot about fear, and they say, and this has been really helpful to me, that the action of fear, as they say it, is to create more fear. And that every choice you make that's based in fear calls you into more fear as well.
Uh-huh.
I get that because I can look at my own life and look at every choice I ever made because I was frightened of something. And I can see what it got me, which was not what I wanted.
Yeah, fear is a powerful manifester, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. So, you know, that's what they said about self-judgment, although I'd never heard it quite that way before. And I think what they're saying is to know, finally, you know, your inherent worth.
Right.
I didn't get this whole concept that the divine self knows no fear. I was teaching a workshop where the guides were, and some guy burst out crying towards the end. This was like in Toledo, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't have to. I said, what's going on? He said, I don't have to be afraid anymore. And they were working with, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve. And he really got the teaching that the truth of who he is, which is sort of not operating at that level of, you know, need for approval, which would probably translate as the need to judge when one doesn't get it, you know, is enormously liberating when you can know that to be true. I can't say that I walk around living there either. I kind of wish I did.
Right.
And I keep showing up for this work because as I do, my life continues to change. It just does, you know, more and more.
I'm really fascinated by the way you were just channeling because, you know, first of all, I've done channeling. It's not trans channeling, but I've done channeling, and I've seen a lot of channelers, both including the trans channeling, which clearly you were doing there a minute ago. What I'm so fascinated by was the way my body shifted.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I'm tingling head to toe. I've got this awareness that there's something energetic underway within my physicality and beyond.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm sort of grasping at the words and my mind is trying to process it, but there was clearly some energetic shift within me. And I suspect for many people who are listening who allowed themselves to just sort of become aware, the same thing occurred for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, you know, I do these live streams, you know, and there's hundreds of people and the energy's just flying, you know. I mean, it really comes with the work. I you know, I don't know why necessarily. I suppose I should probably ask someday. I'm glad you could feel it.
Uh-huh.
For me, when I started doing this work, I wasn't interested in the information coming through me, and I wasn't taking lecture at that point. I was hearing scraps of information, small things, you know, and mostly instructions about how to work with the energy that was coming through. So my investment, this may have been my background doing energy healing, which I was sort of doing on the sly between my, you know, my days as an NYU, you know, teacher. My investment was in the energy because it was so palpable and I could feel it. My challenge being a channel is that I'm the channel. And who the hell am I? I mean, that's, again, my small self, you know.
But,
you know, it's kind of like I often say asking, you know, the radio to judge the broadcast. I'm actually not a trans channel. I'm a conscious channel. But it's gotten to the point. And actually, you know, the whisper and repeat thing comes and goes. When the energy is very high in a group, I'm often working directly. But it's such high energy for me personally at times. And then I really don't remember any of it. When I did a live stream the other night, and actually I didn't remember that either, although the repeating was there. But for the most part, I'm present enough in the channeling that I can question it as it's coming through, which has been very important to me. Because although I can't say that I'm responsible for the content, and I don't feel that I'm the teacher, I do feel responsible at the level that I'm I'm in agreement to this to the level for it to come through. I mean, there's a sense of collaboration.
Sure.
You know, my body is being used, my energy is being used, my memories, my vocabulary, most of the time, although once in a while they'll throw in a word that I really hadn't heard before, and I get to look it up or find out another meaning to a word that I didn't know. But yeah, that's just how it works. It's how it happens through me. I used to sort of apologize for it. And, you know, somebody would say, no, why didn't you channel the right way? And, you know, my guy's response finally was as if there's a right way to channel. It's pretty crazy anyway, you know?
Right.
It's funny,
I'd seen some video of you channeling, and your whole demeanor and your accent shifted. So I assumed you were trans-channeling, but you say it's not trans-channeling.
Well, no, I'm present enough. I mean, this is what I'm doing. The whisper is the transmission. The repeat is for the assembled.
I
don't think I need the repeat anymore. If I'm mic'd, everybody can hear the whisper. If I'm not mic'd, they can't. But how can I describe it? I describe it as if I'm climbing into the back seat of the car and letting somebody else drive.
Oh,
and sometimes I'm kind of like reading a magazine in the back seat. And other times I'm hanging over into the front seat, getting in the way, which is why in the books they say, you know, Paul is interrupting, and I'm usually interrupting because I'm questioning the teaching. In the new book, which, you know, the one that's out in January, the Book of Mastery, earlier in the book they said, you know, nothing is real, and they unpack that. And then a chapter later they said everything is real, and I completely panicked. I went, there goes the whole book. You know, they're finally contradicting themselves. What am I going to do now? And then they unpacked that teaching, which was pretty astonishing. And then I brought this, you know, I gave the manuscript to a man named Jeffrey Kripal, who's a religious scholar. He runs the religious studies program at Meister Eckhart. And he's saying, well, you know, this is, at Rice University, he said, you know, this is like Meister Eckhart's teaching from the 13th century. And it made perfect sense when I saw it on the page in my guide's works. I didn't realize that there was another context for this stuff. So the stuff that I grapple with always is the stuff that's still beyond my level of comprehension. And I think that's one of the limitations that I bring to the work, that as I expand, what they can bring through me expands. I don't like science. You know, I think I got a D in it in high school. So when the guides start speaking about things that have scientific ramifications, they have to utilize language through me that's not going to send me running under the couch during the session, you know, which could happen. So that's the sort of strange relationship that the guides and I seem to have around this stuff.
It's fascinating, and I'm really excited that you're coming to Seattle. For those of you listening in the Seattle area, I wanted to mention that Paul will be here Thursday, July 30th at 7 p.m. at the Sacred Garden Healing Center on 10th Avenue East in Seattle. And then he's doing a full weekend workshop at the Tolaris Conference Center, a place that I've actually done workshops at too. Fabulous, fabulous little haven within Seattle, Saturday and Sunday, August 1st and 2nd. And we're going to talk a little bit with Paul about what's going to happen at that workshop when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 863-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Who's gonna hang it up when you call?
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Paul Selig, who is a channel, a medium, and an author, and also a workshop leader who does live channeling and helps shift people energetically. And I'm so excited you're coming to Seattle to share this with my hometown. Mm. Paul, can you tell us a little bit about what's going to go on at that weekend workshop at the Tolaris Conference Center?
Well, I know the basics, but really the workshops are entirely channeled. So my guides are teaching the workshops. I introduce myself. Uh-huh. That takes about 5-10 minutes. We say hello, and then suddenly, you know, kaboom, I'm flying out of the chair, talking in this accent, and the guides are teaching. And they're teaching with energy. So they actually, in every workshop that they've ever taught, even depending on the length, it doesn't matter, they attune people to the frequency that they work with. Uh-huh. They get people working with the energy. They work with people individually on their stuff. I also, you know, work as a psychic, and I'm an empath, and I have this odd ability to step into other people. So if somebody's having a problem with their daughter and they come in and they say, well, my daughter's name is so-and-so, I actually can step into the daughter. I actually start to look like the kid, and I'll actually hear what's going on in the dynamic, and my guides will come in. So that happens. But the instruction is often in clairsentience. They're teaching people how to feel and work with energy, sometimes mm-hmm. how to track the energy field. But really, I don't have the agenda. You know, I know the title of the workshop, and once it starts, it's really out of my hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, on your website, paulselig.com, mm-hmm. you've got some great videos which actually demonstrate the channeling at work, where you've got audience participation. And I was fascinated by that, because so often the channeling mm-hmm. is like somebody sitting up in the front of a room or standing in the front of the room and channeling, and the entire audience is just quiet. But mm-hmm. your guides encourage the audience participation.
It's not audience participation. It is the workshop.
Uh-huh.
So people are on their feet. They're working with the energy. They're attuning to it. Then they're sending it and receiving it. They're opening up clairvoyantly. I mean, a lot happens in a short period of time. And what I like about these things is, you know, very frequently people who've never had an experience of feeling energy before clairsentience or clairvoyance will actually open up in these things, and they have it, and then it's theirs.
Right.
You know, I mean, my guides aren't giving people something, I don't think. I think they're aligning people to who they are and the level of ability and awareness that comes with that, which is innate to us. So, yeah, it's not, I'm not sitting in a chair just talking. There's some of that. But it's always to the point of people being able to claim this for themselves. And that actually happens experientially. People are doing it.
So have you gotten feedback from workshop attendees who have shifted dramatically in their lives one way or another?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, all the time. You know, I'm doing these a lot. It's not what I expected to be doing with my life, but I'm showing up a lot. No, people's lives are changed. I think on my website there's testimonials. We collect them. You know, I did a workshop in Denver a few months ago, and a woman who'd graduated from my master's program, who really wasn't into this stuff, decided to come because it was her old, you know, her old writing teacher happened to be in town doing this, and she left this thing clairvoyant.
Wow.
I saw her posts on Facebook. She's seeing auras. She's seeing energy fields. She doesn't know what the hell's happening, and it seems like she's ditching all her Republican friends, which I find is fascinating. But, you know, things happen, you know. I mean, I don't know, and I'm making a joke of it, but I do think that the way people see the world and see themselves as a result of these things is significant. It's changed.
Right.
We're claiming our own divine worth, and often in the face of great resistance for who we were taught to be or who we actually think we are.
Yes.
And then we have this experience of who we are outside of that, which I feel sticks with us at a level if we continue to work with it.
Yeah. So, can you remind us again why it's important for us to be doing this now?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
We're at a juncture. I think the species is at a juncture, and also the potential is here for our own realization. The health is here. The awareness is here. I'm going to go to the guides with this. We will say this. They're saying we will say this. The choice to claim your true identity claims a new world. The world you claim, and the world you claim in an awareness of your own divine self, in an awareness of your own divine self, and does not exclude the awareness of others, and does not exclude the awareness of others. The awareness of this in others is life. Is the life that you would live. That you would live in union with the source. In union with your source. It is here. It is here. It is here. They're saying it is here. It is here. It is here. It changes the world.
Yeah, and that's great because it changes the world one person at a time and has this ripple effect.
Yeah. Well, my guides say one person wakes up and a thousand more follow. That actually, once you're carrying this in your field, you're actually doing the work.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You're aligning others in the same way.
Yeah, and very powerful. Every time you're channeling, you know, I'm getting shivers head to toe. It's amazing. And I'm so excited you're coming to Seattle Thursday, July 30th, Sacred Garden Healing Center for a book signing. And then a full weekend workshop taught by Paul's guide, Saturday and Sunday, August 1st and 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day at the Tolaris Conference Center. You know, I'm so glad you joined us here today, Paul. And I'm grateful that you're doing this work because it feels very, very important to help the world transform.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's been a pleasure. And, you know, it's, I want to repeat again the quotes, you know, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, which is throughout your book. And, you know, I've seen on your videos and I felt it energetically that these are important words and vibration to step into. So thank you for doing this, and I appreciate you joining us here on the show today.
Thank you.
Okay. So don't miss Paul when he comes to Seattle, end of July, early August. And thank you for joining us here today. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.